You know, I'm starting to learn. You would think that I would have this understanding by now, but I still find myself learning some of the ways of God. And you know, if all we ever had was, if all we ever had was praise and worship, and that's all we ever had, how strong could we be in troubled times? Right. See, God knows us way better than we'll ever know us. Yep. So he gave us a word, and he preserved this word for generations so that you and I could feed from it and learn from it, so that we would have the answers to life sometimes when we think that we don't have the answers. The answers have been written beforehand in this book called the Bible. And I'm watching as God will take and put us in, even in, we're talking about entering your next season. Even as we move through processes in services, we're moving from one season to another, even in services. And it's hard sometimes, because sometimes all I want to do is just let the singing go, you know. It would be a lot less laborious for me if all we ever done was sing. I would never have to worry about laboring over the word and trying to get the heart and the mind of God so that I can give it to you in a fashion that you could take it and eat and possibly glean from. I just love how God works sometimes and what he does. It's just, it's beyond our understanding. But let's break bread. Y'all ready? I've got to go to work. I've got a job to do this morning. We're going to talk about enter your next season. How many of you are looking to move into another season in your life? How many of you are tired where you're at in the season that you're in right now? And you, some of us, Lisa, are in desperation mode to get out of the season that we're in because it is so tiring. It's causing us to become weary, and we need a new season in our life. Sometimes we find ourselves, even as we move into new seasons, even if it's no better than the season that we're in, at least it's different. Mm-hmm. Amen. I still have problems in this. At least they wasn't that problem. Right. I know some of y'all don't like that kind of teaching, but that's how some of this works for us. I mean, we just don't, I'll say me. Sometimes I'm not even concerned with the season that he's moving me into, as just long as it's not this one. Yeah. There's times in my life that I won't even build my expectation for what's next, as long as it ain't this. I'm not even interested in trying to set myself up for any fall or hurt or disappointment when the next season smacks me in the face. All I want, God's the next season. I'm not setting myself up. I'm not putting expectations on you. I just want to move from this season. Joe. This is good enough. We can just leave, right? Because so many of us get tied up in, I can't wait for the next season in my life because it's got to be better than this one. Yeah. And what if it's not? Yeah. Then what's your response? Right. See, you will. Tommy said something to me the other day. And it wasn't nothing new to my ears, and it wasn't anything new to my spirit. But he said something to me the other day that came from a friend of his that said something about growing where you're eating or where you're planted. Glean from where you're planted or receive from. See, it's, if you are not careful, you will open yourself up to opinionated preaching. And you will find yourself rejoicing in the fact because this one particular voice that you're lending your, oh, you're not just lending your ear, but you're lending your heart to, you're lending your spirit to, that begins to speak into your life, and it's all about everything's going to be better, and it's going to get better, and everything's better, and all you have to do, and it's better, and if you do this, it's better, and if you, next thing you know, you're sending money, because he said, if you give us $200, we're going to double your promise.
Yeah.
See, y'all not with me, but I'm telling you this morning that you must be careful when somebody tells you that your next season is always better. Your next season may just be the purpose of transitioning you into what is going to be better. But before you get to that part, you've got to be built internally to withstand. Okay, you're asking for it. Some of us will go through season after season after season after season being taught stewardship.
Yeah.
Because when he puts us in the promise, he doesn't want us to be wasteful. Y'all not getting it. When it's dead-end job after dead-end job, is Pastor getting on finances this morning? No. It's dead-end job after dead-end job after dead-end job after dead-end job, and nothing else changes, and not even you. Oh, well, y'all just come and sit at the table. Sometimes God puts us through these seasons in hopes that we will learn along the way. Because if you can't handle the $10 in your pocket, you definitely won't handle the million that's waiting on you.
Amen. That's true. Come on.
Why do you think that when you see people that win the lottery, and God bless them, God love her soul. Look, bless them. But why do you think most of those people fall right back into... Because they've never learned to manage what they had.
Yep.
Next seasons. How many are you ready to enter your next season now? Well, being that you put it that way, I don't even know. It doesn't even matter. Right? I'm not promising you that the next season is going to be better than this one. I'm just promising you there's going to be a next season. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to Deuteronomy 34. Verses 7 and 8. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Boy,
amen.
I only pray that that's the way we go.
Right.
I mean, how many of you want to go that way? See, some of you, okay, teaching moment. This is what will divide you from your selfishness.
Amen.
Because most of you go, well, I've still got a long life to live. And you're more interested in living your life because you are full of vigor. Never mind. I'm telling y'all keep on. But God, I got so much more I want to do. Well, if it's a point of God taking me now so that I don't mess up tomorrow, take me.
Amen.
If you're willing. God, I got to move on, don't I? No. Because all in what we have in us now, we build for ourselves.
That's true.
Our attention, our labor, our finances, our worship, our movements, our jobs that we take, or the jobs that we don't, we all do it for the benefit of ourselves. Solomon would put it this way in the book of Ecclesiastes, that all that I have built will only be run by the ones come behind me. Mm-hmm. What I've realized in life is that all that I have built is nothing but vanity.
Yeah.
All the attention I put into it and all the efforts that I put into this life, I put into this life to build me. Solomon would say it's vanity. The wisest man to ever be. So I'll just challenge your heart stance this morning. Let me challenge the stability of your heart this morning. What is it that you build for? Do you build for you? Do you build just for your family? Now listen, don't take this wrong and don't pull me out of context, because men, I'll speak straight to y'all, if you ain't getting your butt out of bed and going to work for your family, you're wrong. You're nothing better than an infidel. But get up and go to work. Support your family. Do what it takes. But might I add that God still should come first? Don't you work so much to where you've got to do overtime every time that the doors are open at a church house somewhere where you can go and be fed by His Word because you're, never mind, I'm coming, because you're too lazy to do it yourself. I'm talking to the men. Women, y'all can just hang on a minute, just amen it. But see, we want to be called the men of the house, and we want to rule with an iron fist, and we want to be the one that's honored. We want to be the one that's reverend in the house, but yet we don't want to do what it takes to be that. David, we're already talking men's conference. What are we building for? Man, our home should be our sanctuary.
Yes.
A place that God could move freely even in the home.
Yes.
We just think that's meant for church. What are we building towards? I can't let it go. Women, I'm coming. Why do we glamour so much? What if you took, hey, pay attention. What if you took the time? What if you took the time to adorn God with love?
Amen.
As much as we take to adorn ourselves.
That's right.
With glamour. Oh, I'm coming, women, right up in your face. You will sit up in the mirror for hours just so you can go to church. Shh. And won't spend 15 minutes on your face. Boy, this ain't in the message. This is free. I mean on your face before God, on your face. I'm not talking in your face. I'm talking on your face.
Thank you. Yeah, to clarify for me. I was like,
see how you women think? This is why God won't leave you by yourself. Any woman says, I don't need no man, that's a lie straight from hell. Because that is not what God ordained. Here I come. Here I come. Pastor, I thought we was on your next season. I am. I'm on your next. I'm trying to. There's things in our life that we need to fix in the preparation of next seasons. Now listen. Nope, because Debbie would crucify me when I get home. If you think you need makeup, please put it on. I'm gonna let that set right there. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Can we move on? Y'all not mad at me yet? Just hang on. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Boy, I love that part. I circled it in my Bible. I underlined it. I preached on that, this Jordan. Go over this Jordan. See, that's the problem with some of y'all. Y'all think just because you crossed one problem, there is no more to follow. He said this Jordan, insinuating that there was more to come.
That's right.
See, you think you've perfected it. You've overcome one area in your life. Well, guess what, sweetheart? There's another one.
Yes, there is. Life doesn't
come on, ain't it? None of us have arrived. Y'all better pay attention to the pastor this morning. Rise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Go to Joshua chapter 3, verse number 8. You shall command the priest who bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. What you have to understand is now that Moses has gone on. Well, no. Now that you understand that God just killed Moses, don't like that teaching either. God said, come on, Moses, meet me up here. Moses never come back. God took Moses to the house behind the barn, right? He said, I'll let you look over there, see what you could have had.
Yeah.
Boy, how many of you are grateful that God doesn't take you to a mountain and say, look what you could have had?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that day hasn't, or will it ever come. I think there might be a time that God will sit with us and go, boy, if you'd have just listened, you wouldn't have had to wait. But you didn't listen. Right? Oh, boy, if you'd have listened. See, you thought it was just about him. It ain't. I'm just using examples. Everybody in here can get that word. But Moses is gone now. And the Israelites are finding themselves set up in Acacia Grove. This is just a resting place, if you will. A holding place. See, these are those moments of transition that really nothing's really got you going right now. And nothing's got you excited about what's coming. You just kind of in a holding pattern. And some of us, we become complacent in the holding place. Because after all, man, at least I don't have to fight that. And if you aren't careful, you find yourself staying in the holding place. You'll find yourself building the tabernacle where the tent should have been.
Amen.
Anybody been in those seasons in their life and you just got hung up in that season? I found my knight in shining armor, and we just rest right there. We don't tend to our knight in shining armor. We don't work on being the woman we need to be for our knight in our shining. See, y'all hate me when I start talking about you. Women and men individually, we're alike. Let me clear this up. In some aspects. Right? Because once we reach a certain plateau, we let it go. I didn't mean to do that. It was just coming, so I just let it happen. Once you find your man, come on, man, I'm guilty. Once we have serenaded, once we have courted, once we have done all we needed to do to get them to fall into the trap, we stop. But let's not forget about the women that entrap the men. See, I wasn't going to come back to that, but I was encouraged to. Once we have them in our clutches, women, they mine. Now, go pick up your dirty laundry. Go take the dogs out. Go take the trash out. Go do this and go do that. Go do this and go do that. Are you comfortable? Can you help me? Are you sitting there? Can you get up a minute? Can you lift your feet so I can back? It's just always something. The holding places where we become comfortable and we sit. Not knowing that what we're sitting in can jeopardize what we're trying to move into. But because we're okay with where we are, and I'm not having to fight here. At least I'm not having to deal with or tend to. See, look, this is the dangers of some that get divorced. Half of the reason that they got divorced is because of what I just said earlier. See, y'all don't want me as your marriage counselor. That's half of our problem. Yeah. See, we are no longer, we're no longer dedicated to the promise.
That's right. That's true.
Now that we have obtained the promise, we are not good stewards of.
Oh, that's it. Come on.
They made me do it. And those that have gone through divorces find themselves sitting in that state. It's a holding pattern. Not God ordained. Don't get your mind twisted. But they find themselves in this holding pattern. At least I don't have to take this abuse.
Right.
I'll just be without. At least I don't have to hear them nagging and complaining. I'll just... Y'all women don't do that. Bless them, Lord. We just find ourselves sitting in the holding pattern. It's not what God intended for your life. See, How can God reveal the love of Christ and the church without husband and wife? Somebody answer that for me. Oh, crickets. Because he said that they were the great mystery. He could have used anything in the Bible, but he chose to use husband and wife. Because we should be a direct reflection of how he loves the church. But in the holding patterns, we sit there and sit there. Acacia Grove is nice and comfortable at this moment. I'm not having to fight nothing. I'm not having to move into any more of a fight. Just sit here and I'll just eat plums and strawberries, whatever. I don't like plums. Sometimes we become comfortable in these places because they're better than what we come out of. May not be what we're promised, but we're willing to settle. Because it's a step out of where we were. I wonder how many of us this morning are living in a place where we have just settled. I mean, after all, we're comfortable. Got food on the table, pretty good jobs, clothes, hot wives. I mean, just so we just settle right there, not knowing that there's more to be had. Not another woman, men. Not another man, women. But there's more. Can you understand, or can anybody? Well, I was going to go straight to Charlie, so Miss Linda, I'm coming straight to you. Do you think there's any room for married couples? Because y'all been married the longest, I think, in here. Do you think there's any room for any marriage to grow and to partake from a better fruit as they grow? Do you think there's room for that, really? After how many years? 50. Good. Lord!
Amen. That's right.
Well, I was just getting potty trained at 4 years old. I mean, 50 years old, and she's saying there's room. Boy, boy, oh boy.
Amen.
Can I ask it? Boy, this should have been marriage conference. Can I ask another question? Do you find it harder to become married or harder to stay married? And that's the only two choices you got, sweetheart. Is it harder to become married or harder to stay married? So what you're telling me is the Israelites, once they crossed the Jordan, and if you read the life of David, there was, or the life of Joshua, sorry, there were more fights on keeping the promise than there was gaining the promise. They only fought two wars crossing the Jordan. The rest were fought in the promise. Sometimes you ought to be grateful for the fight you're in.
Amen.
See, that's our problem. Hey, are you taking notes on this? This is marriage ministry stuff.
I need more.
This is marriage ministry stuff right here.
Yes,
goodness gracious. Why are we talking about marriage? I promise, this doesn't say nothing about marriage. Well, you are. No, it's hot mess and then a hot mess. Then a hot mess. But God can use these moments for transitioning.
Yes.
A lot of the reason why we don't enter into the promise in its completion or its entirety is because we stop fighting.
Amen.
This is why I might as well just talk about marriage. This is why the ugly word divorce comes up.
Yeah.
It's because you stop fighting for what you had.
Right.
See, we haven't figured out that we're fighting together.
Yes.
We're fighting each other.
Right.
Nah, y'all ain't get it. Y'all ain't get it because you'll go home this evening, you go fight again.
Yep. Come on.
Not fight. Tell them. not fighting for the promise that God is trying to instill in your home and instill in your marriage. You're not fighting for that because that doesn't, dear God in heaven, boy, we coming this morning. That is not as important as fighting for being right. You can't find yourself being faulted for wrong. You've got to be right. And this is why we have the conflict in between two that God has joined together, that no man should separate. But we enter right on up in the middle of the mix. Boy, I wish I had a church that really loved good teaching. This is why the phone calls happen. So we go teach it on a Sunday morning because a lot of people don't want to come on a Wednesday night. Not here because y'all blow my mind. But not everybody wants to go on a Wednesday night and get the meat of teaching. They want to go on Sunday and get the net of teaching. They want the gospel spread in a broadband, not directed towards them. Because that makes me feel uncomfortable, Pastor. I mean, that offends me. Well, it should.
Yeah.
If you're living wrong and you're in sin and you're doing the wrong things that are completely contradictory to God's word, then you should be offended. And I'm glad that I'm the one being used to offend you. Because nobody else in here has the fortitude. You don't like being told that you're wrong. You don't like being told that you're living in sin. You don't like being told there's a better way. You don't like being told that love, 1 Corinthians 13, that love suffers long. You don't want to be told that. But I'm telling you now that if you're going to build a marriage of 50 years and you're going to enjoy the fruits of such, you're going to find a way to fight. Stop complaining about the one that you're married to and begin lifting that person up.
Yes.
Start acting like they're still acting like they're supposed to. Even when they don't take out the trash, take it out for them.
Yep.
And move on. Don't say it because let me tell you, it's gonna tweak him.
Yeah.
I get mad. Man, I done went straight completely away from notes. I'm coming right in your kitchen this morning. I hope you got all four gas burners, five in some cases, wide open. But that's one. You want to tweak me? Grab a trash bag and start walking out the front. I almost threw it down the steps the other day with a trash bag. Listen, I'm fat and old. and I need some time to move. So when you ask me at 12 o'clock to take the trash out, don't pick up the trash at 12 o'clock and 30 seconds. Give this man some time to get his feet. Gotta grease these bones and hinges. I can't just jump straight when you snap. Relax a minute. I'll get it. But women, you want to see your man do what your man should do? You start doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let me help you. And if they don't start doing it, give us a call. I love talk to him. Trifling. Lazy. Despicable.
Move along.
I'm trying. I haven't even got past the first page on going to a new season, and we all up in your mixing bowl this morning. How many of you, okay, listen. Boy, I would love right now to just look at YouTube and Facebook and say, see ya, so that we could do personal ministry right now. Y'all not on camera. They keep me on camera. You're not even on camera. Raise your hand if you're fighting this right now. Come on. Come on. Don't be. Listen, this is why you won't be set free in some areas in your life, because you're not willing to stand before God and go, hey, I'm suffering with some stuff and I need some help. I need to be a better man. I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better wife. I need to know how to love and to nurture my children. I need to know how to go to work. And you want to find out why you still fighting it. Because you ain't willing to just admit and go, dude, I'm just jacked up. I need some help.
Amen.
I'm trying to give you some help.
Yes.
What I'm trying to do right now is do about 7 or 8 counseling sessions all in 1 hour. So open up your ears. Tune to the word of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm trying to save marriages. I'm trying to get marriages together.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make marriages better all in one wrap. Your next season. See, some of you are okay with the season that you're in when you're not talking to each other. Some of you, well, it's better if we just, I'm fine if she's just in the other room. Are you? Come on. Okay. I might as well. I might as well. If you're not careful in tending to your business, somebody else is going to tend to your business. Ask me how I know. Baby, can we? Well, we won't go there all the way this morning. But look, I've already been there, baby. You don't tend to it, somebody else is gonna. And it ain't going to take some highfalutin, fancy, well-dressed, got-it-together type of person to do it. It's going to take one person, one word, on the one day that's the right time, and go, man, your shoes just look beautiful. And they go, oh, they love me. Y'all having a hard time? See, we don't want to do what it takes. All we want is the end result.
That's right.
We don't want the fight we got to get through just to get to the promise. We don't even want to do that fight.
Yeah.
Much less fight after we get in the promise.
Yeah.
Y'all crazy, man. Y'all, you're just absolutely crazy. Because you don't believe that God can fix it. The problem is, your fixing is directed. Will y'all just walk with me down the road of grace and love? We want God to fix them. God, what about fixing me? Pastor, I'd have been there. I done tried that. You've tried it for a week. Shut up. They've been doing it for 50 years. Do you still pray, God, fix me? Or Charlie, you still looking saying, God, you better fix this woman. Don't answer. I know this is a different Sunday morning message. This isn't something that you were probably prepped for. But it's something you can use.
Amen.
Put it in your battle bag because one day you'll need it.
Yes.
Just like David grabbed the 5 stones and put it in his satchel.
Yep.
Put it in your satchel. One day you're going to face a giant and you're going to have to take it out. And this is how you're going to do it.
Amen.
Your love for the one that you're married to has to extend beyond yourself. You can't always be the one happy in your home.
Amen.
Ask me how I know. See, I'm preaching. Stop preaching. No, I'm telling you my life story right now. Y'all just don't know it.
Yep.
We done already been, I bet you we've been through over 9/10 of what everybody else has been through. God's trying to get the family together. Enough of this garbage. When are you going to stand up? Husbands, when are you going to stand up in your home and start taking the place that God has divinely appointed you to be?
Amen.
You're the priest and you won't even break open the bread. The Bible.
Yep.
You won't even pray. You won't spend time with God, but boy, let me give you a, I'm not coming that way, but I'm kind of coming that way. Not really, but kind of. We'll run to the Harley. Make way! The flowers are blooming! Blah-blah. But we won't make way to church. We'll make way to job. But we won't make way. I'm telling you, the love that we have and the love that we're experiencing of what we understand it to be is a selfish love. We love anything that will benefit us. But if it's going to cause some discomfort, we're mad. We're not going to talk to him. We're not listening to her. We go find something else to do out in the garage. Come on, man. I mean, where are you going? Out in the garage. It ain't doing nothing. Some of us probably in the garage going like, yeah. Others of us in the garage, we got a rag and some bug slide. We wiping down our Harley. Ask me how I know. It's better to wipe it down than scream at her, right? Is it better to wipe that down and talk to her? So why are we doing it? Because some of you just, you got yellow spines. You scared to even stand up to your wife and talk to her about anything. If she goes, y'all take off. Scare you to death. It feels better than the issue. Okay. Because it's hard for us to do it, we would rather go to something else.
Right.
So, again, it's selfish love that you will battle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a man? She's single. Oh, but y'all just relax. We will find ourselves fighting for what makes us comfortable than fighting for the promise.
Amen.
You're sitting here telling me all of this right now. There's more in your life that means more to you than making amends with the one that you're married to. Marriage 101, Tommy, you need a title because we went completely out of the notes. We're always interested in moving into a next season without leaving the season that we're in. How many of you have drugged those seasons into the seasons you're in right now? Come on, some of y'all got so many bags attached to you. It's a wonder. Man, we already have a hard time when they go shopping to even keep up with them. Well, for me, it's better I don't keep up and I just keep the money close. So let them go 4 or 5 stores. Don't let them go with the wallet. Don't give them no credit cards. Because you could go home, she's going to go, here's your receipt, here's your receipt, here's your receipt. And you're going to just cry. You're going to get in a fetal position in a cold shower and cry for days.
No.
Look, see, I've got seasons, Charlie, at my house. That boxes come in groves. They send track and trailers.
Yep.
And by the time that dude done unloading boxes, he's sweating. Yep. He tired.
Yep. Can't help it. They send them all separate.
That just means she's been on the phone all night. Bah, bah, bah.
That's when you catch the good sales.
But these aren't the times to argue and fight about it. You just make her return it.
I do most of that on
that. I'm starting to learn some of that. I can get 12 boxes and she only keeps one. So I'm just starting to glorify God in that. Now I pray over them when I bring them in the house. Lord, please don't let this one fit. See, we were talking about this thing of facing one another. This is good marriage teaching right now. We're talking about facing each other in adversity and problems. I can use the Israelites for this because they were told that they had to go out into the Jordan and stand. The Jordan wasn't a creek. The Jordan was in a flood stage. And the priests were carrying... Oh, boy. Okay, Holy Spirit. The priests were carrying the box. Y'all remember the box? The Ark of the Covenant, the box. The thing that we're still trying to keep God in, the box. The thing that God didn't want to stay in and he killed somebody because he didn't let him fall, the box. I'm talking about the box. And they're carrying God and they said, you want to take these out into the flood stages. That's half of your problem. That's why you don't want to approach the problem that you're going through because you don't take God's word. You won't take God's word into the problem. You take in your selfish self in it. God said that we should put the other before ourselves. How many of you doing it? Don't lie, you up in church. Holy Spirit smoked a couple of them for lying. I mean, ashes. I'm glad I wasn't one of the armor bearers. That would have freaked me out. Standing there and they go, no, we didn't do. Don't ask me no questions. Just don't ask me no questions. We take our selfish attitudes. Come on, I want you to really think about this for a minute. When you go home this evening and you're fighting, When you go home this evening and you're fighting and you're bickering and you argue, when you do this evening, when you go home, after we leave church and you go home after a teaching like this and you go home and you fight.
Ask us how we know.
To church?
Yep.
To home?
Yep. All the way.
Church in between?
Yep.
Glory.
Yes.
I get in the car, and don't you ever look at me like that again in service.
That's right. We did. Yes, we did.
See, y'all don't understand. See, some of the stuff that y'all have is for babies.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't got into the mature levels yet. You still baby fighting. He got my toy. They got my toy. You won't take God's word into it.
Yeah.
Because you're so hung up on you. Mm-hmm. You have to be right. They have to be wrong. You have to go into the fight with God being the center. One of the questions I like to ask is, are you married? Do you think people get married out of love or out of assignment? 99.99999 and 98%, some are not that, say love. And there's only one way that you can show love is by your decisions. It's by your choices. Adam was not presented with a choice. Adam was put to sleep. Okay, wake up. There you go. Because there was an assignment. If you don't believe that the one you're married to right now is attached to an assignment, that's 75% of your problem right now. But God, I didn't ask for this. Hey, neither did Adam. I mean, that would have been my argument at the tree. God, I ain't asked for this. I ain't asked for none of this. None of it. Smoke her. I'm telling you now. Look. Knowing who I am, I'm telling you, as soon as she'd done it, I'd have been beating her with an olive branch, hollering for daddy. Hey, come here. Give me another one. This one broke. We don't see ourselves in an assignment for the kingdom of God. Your first and foremost assignment. Hear me. Your first and foremost assignment as husband and wife is to show the love of Christ.
Yes.
As a couple.
Yes.
So you Christians that want to go through Kroger's and one of you standing at the front end of the buggy and the other one standing at the back and whoever's at the back's always rolling up the heels of the one in the front because they're mad. They ain't done that. I told y'all still with the baby arguments. I put it in the front and just push over heels. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Quit stopping. I'm not stopping. I'm almost running. Then run faster. I'm trying to help you. See, sometimes in marriage counseling, it can't be all punching you in the mouth because you bleed and you leave.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got to make you laugh so you'll receive.
Yeah.
But your assignment is that you edify the kingdom,
yes,
not yourself. Can we just take a break right here just for a second? And y'all repeat after me. God,
help me.
Get over me.
Get over me.
Those of you that didn't want to say it, you're going to want to say it eventually. You'll either humble yourself before God or he will humble you. Boy, I don't think I'm on 33. I think I'm on 45 because this is coming out pretty heavy right now. Once we get into the marriage, man, that's when we quit. We give up. See, it was a time that we were dating. Man, I'd have punched you in the face if you looked at my wife. I did. I throw you against the wall in the club. I say, what you looking at? Got a problem? I didn't care. And if I was dancing, boy, don't roll up behind me. I'll take your feet out right on the dance floor and step on your throat. I ain't care. What happened? I'll still do it. That's the problem with me. God's still working on that. But we were willing to go through so much before we get married. And when we get married, we don't think we have to do anything. And as soon as they broke ground on the other side of the Jordan, they was in a fight.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they would have started fighting with one another?
Yeah.
You voted to come over here. You should have kept your mouth shut. He's taking you. But you're going to have to let him. You're still learning. I mean, when I got somebody who's been married 50 years and she says that you got to fight more to keep it, Charlie, you wasn't in here. Don't take anything. Everything's okay. Charlie said, that's 50 years. 50 years is I trust her. Whatever she said, she got my back. 50 years, they ain't no worries. Now, 2 years, 3 years, y'all go, what'd you sing? Right? How many of you want to transition into better in your marriage?
Yes.
We need to wait, don't we? we gonna wait. Sing Come by Yah, my Lord. Is that what it is? Come by Yah, my Lord. Come by Yah. You've got to be willing to surrender. You have to be willing to walk in humility in your marriage. Marriage isn't just the I do. We started the thing, we let it go. I mean, we still do some marriage stuff. But we started off, man, just trying to run hard with it, honestly. And we named it afteryoudo.com. Because see, all y'all go to premarital stuff, some of you. You go to premarital and talk about some things and see what's right, try to fill this thing out. But after you do, what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they didn't teach. So we said, well, we're going to have to teach you after you do. This is coming.
Yep.
She going to hate you. She going to burn your biscuits. He ain't taking out the trash. He ain't going to walk the dogs. He could go buy stuff and not tell you. Got weak in the knees right there. She gonna go buy stuff. Don't tuck your head and not tell you. You might experience some of that today. It's all in the company you keep. Oh, Are we doing okay?
Yeah.
Are we doing okay? Listen, I'm not trying to be funny with you and joke with you this morning. I'm trying to help you in your marriage. I'm trying to let you know before it happens, it's coming. I'm trying to let you know that there's a hope that when it's done, it's all good. Joe, we was waiting for you to come back. I was singing "Come by Yah, my Lord."
He said he was in the garage.
Boy, YouTube and Facebook ain't ready for this. I should have shut them down an hour ago. Attaboy. Why is it so hard for us? I mean, because after all, before you slipped the ring, you sold out.
That's right.
Now you're trying to sell out.
Come on.
It's cheaper to keep her. They ain't like that one, Charlie. Charlie says, I don't know nothing about it. He said, keep my name out your mouth. What are you willing to sacrifice in your marriage to gain the love of your spouse? Well, I shouldn't have to gain. No, you shouldn't. They got to gain yours. I'm just trying to minister to you now on your level. Because it's all about you, right? You have to be happy. You have to be comfortable. It's got to be your way. Come on, mister, I'm going to buy a truck. Look, I'm coming. Hey, Facebook, YouTube, I love you, but this ain't the day. We'll see y'all later. I'm coming. Y'all can blame this on God when we're done, because it's not in my notes. But it's been so good right now. It's a little potent. It's like a stiff drink across the bar. I wouldn't know anything about any of that. Man, we will minister to our own feelings before we minister to our spouses. Because we'll go and have that drink, or we'll go and have that smoke, or we'll go and spend that money, or we'll go and shine that Harley, or we'll go spend time in the garage. All the while, our spouses, me and I'm right here with you right now. All the while, our spouses, because they are such an emotional creature, they are having to deal with different things that's going and spinning in their mind that the enemy is constantly throwing. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care. He's probably going and seeing somebody else. Don't tell me it don't happen. It does with the women and men. It does with you. The moment your wife don't cook your food, right? Well, who does she cook for today? She tired. She burnt my biscuits. As soon as they don't line up with what you expected, this is why boundaries are so important in marriage. You've got to put boundaries around the marriage. You've got to know what can be said. See, this is the hard part. This is like homework to you, and you don't want to do it. You just want to flourish in the fruits. You don't want to go fertilize the tree. You don't want to go and dig around it one more year. Y'all don't want to dig around it one more day. Come on. And you want to complain that your marriage is jacked. That you got problems in your life. And you don't want to put no kind of effort towards. There was a moment I didn't know how to touch her. And when I did touch her, in the way that I touched her caused a reaction. See, y'all don't understand, but here, I'll go with it. It's not really funny, but I'm going to help you. See, when you're molested at a young age, for year after year after year after year, from someone that has an authority place over your life, it has a tendency to leave scars. It has a tendency to leave issues. And see, I wasn't told about all of this. I wasn't given a boundary of don't walk in behind me and lay your hands on my hips. Don't do that because that startles me. So when it happened, my first thing is, what, you don't love me? Well, I mean, what's going on? You're my wife. What's the... See, y'all don't get that. See, y'all got the little problems. You ain't graduated to the big boy, big girl problems yet. You still fussing over and picking up underwear out of the bedroom. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about real issues in your marriage. What are you going to do when the real stuff hits the fan? What are you going to do when they do look at you and wake you up at midnight and say, I got to tell you something. I cheated on you. What are you going to do then, Ron? You fighting over snowballs running through your house. Fur balls. What are you going to do then? When that's laid on, where are you going to be then? See, you want the heavy stuff? That's why I let YouTube go. They can't handle this. Where are you going to go then when it's heavier than what you can carry? Well, Pastor, what are you going to do? Let me tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to love each other harder and stronger and more and longer. Oh, that actually happened? Yes. I'm just giving you testimony now. You want to know the grace of God? There it is. How about some of that? Get you the big spoon. Get you the big spoon. Brain freeze. Big spoon. And you worried about the little stuff. Worried about how his hair's combed. Amen, preacher. Worried about how your man's dressed. You ought to be worried about where he's going. I know this probably... Oh, how old are you? Oh, shoot, girl. You right in here. There's going to come a time when you're going to have to step out into the Jordan when it's at flood stage, and learn to stand.
Amen. Amen.
There's the Jordan. Y'all think it's a little creek. There's the Jordan at flood stage. Step out. What are you going to do then? You willing? Are you still tied up in you? I mean, I'm sorry. You know what? It's 12:20. If this ain't for you, you're freely dismissed. You can. Ain't no hard feelings either. I'm good if you're good. I'm just telling you, life ain't going to be easy. Financial decisions aren't easy. Children running amok. I was just making sure my belt was tight. That's why I shut YouTube off. Look, it's not easy. Mother's going to want to do it one way. Father's going to want to do it another way. There's going to be a problem if you don't set a boundary. Yeah. Ask me how I know. Man, I wish I would have known what it was like to rule a house with the hand of God, and not an iron fist. Wish I would have known. I wouldn't have lost 12 years. I wouldn't have had to sit up at night and worry if my kids would ever be able to look at me and tell me that they love me. See, you're worried about the little stuff, man. Your problems in your marriage. Because you don't want to get down and dirty. You don't want to get into God's word and trust Him at that point. Some of the things that you're going through in your marriage, guys, you really need to weigh this stuff out. Because some of what you fight against, some of those things are set up as adversity to see if you'll fight them together. You want God to trust you with a promised land, but you can't get past the Jordan without swinging? Oh, but you're called. You're not. Yeah, so was David. And he was sent back out to care for sheep. So now that you're called, you've arrived. Are you kidding me? I've been called, still ain't arrived, and still learning, and still messing up. And still going, I don't know why you called me. I can't even talk to the people right. I'll go home today and get scolded. I was a little hard. You need it. Somebody needs to break the hard, dry ground in your life because you're not. Come on, I wish that you would just at least say amen to let me know that you still love me. Amen. Just so I don't think that I done messed you up and you ain't never coming back and you don't you listen to that pastor. I don't care what he says. You get out, you sleep in the basement. I don't need you anyway. Well, you getting it now, baby.
But he needs it too.
Oh, come on. There you go. Get you first. You let God work on him. You get you first. I can't, girl. How am I supposed to see that?
Coming over from Mississippi. As Rob sitting there watching you and saying amen.
Oh. Got somebody from Mississippi online. Listen, guys, I love you more than you know. Yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to give you the right words every time. And I might say something that don't line up with what you're thinking and how you feeling and what you experience. I get it. I understand it. I need help too.
Amen.
But what I'm telling you, I refuse to let something come in now. I'm too far gone, brother.
Amen. That's right.
I'm fully vested.
Amen.
Just in case you didn't know, I'm fully vested.
I know.
I ain't got time for nonsense.
Right.
Well, y'all don't argue? Sure we do. Very short.
Yep.
It's very short. I'm going to say my piece. She going to say her piece. We're going to go a separate ways. We're going to fix it. We're going to go. Everything will be all right. She won't burn the biscuits. That's how I know. Most cases, she just says, you take me out to dinner. Come on. I'm still working on opening the door. I've got it like twice in a week. I mean, that's better. Charlie, I'm working on it. I don't need counseling right now. But God loves you so much that he was willing to take me completely out of where we were heading. So if you're a married couple sitting in here this morning, I want to encourage you. Fight for what's right.
Amen.
Well, what's that, Pastor? The kingdom.
Amen.
If somebody was to sit with you at dinner this afternoon, are they going to see kingdom or are they going to see division?
Mm-hmm.
What are they seeing? You better remember this because you just now leaving church. See, that's almost as worse as not tipping the waitress after you leave church because your food wasn't cooked right. They didn't cook it. They just brought it to you.
Right.
Ding dong. Pay them people.
That's right.
You want blessings in your life? Bless somebody.
Yeah.